Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Well, greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida, TGIF. How are you today? I am Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass. It is a Friday. Lots of fun going into a three-day weekend. Glad you could be with us here on the Sheeman and Shepherd Show. You know we always have fun on Fridays. You're invited to be with us as well, and we are thankful that you are with us. You can listen to us on a myriad of stations throughout Southwest Florida. We call it the Sheeman and Shepherd Radio Network. Also, you can take us with you wherever on our app. It is free. Download it, ESPN Southwest Florida. Also, our website. You can listen live there, too, or go back in time and listen to Sheeman and Shepherd podcast at ESPNSWFL.com. We're on Twitter at ESPNSWFL as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Craig ESPN, Pete Shepherd's at PSHEP326. Our phone number and our Stony Brook Golf Club text line remain the same, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. We've got Food Truck Wars tickets to give away. We've got Wikipedia later on in the program. All of our usual Friday fun, plus Pigskin Picks, Gabe Morenci, Miley Cyrus in the Weekend Remix Kickoff, Harry Carey, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, Pete, how are you today?
Awesome. Fantastic. Another beautiful day here in Southwest Florida. Outstanding breeze. And more importantly, how are you feeling? Any better?
At my worst, Wednesday and Thursday, I had a total of 7 symptoms from COVID. I now am down to 3 symptoms. So I'm trending upward, I guess. So thank you for asking, and thank you for all the well wishes on the text line and the phone calls and all that. I'm going in the right direction. That's what I can tell you. So still here from home today.
And, yeah, long weekend coming up. So hopefully by Tuesday,
that's right,
you'll be back. But yeah, what man? I am so excited. Tomorrow, besides getting my car serviced at wonderful Naples Nissan, because it's that time.
Yeah,
oil change, tire rotation, that type of thing. But 4:30 is not going to be able to come fast enough for the Raiders at Cincinnati. I mean, that is going to be. I can't wait. I love this is a special weekend in sports every single year, and now it's bigger and better than ever. We got a total of 6 games between the 3 days. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, dragging into Monday. Back in my day, we used to watch basketball from the NBA on Martin Luther King Day. Now we're watching professional playoff football. How about that?
Yep, absolutely. And I remember back in a couple of those Martin Luther King days back in Boston when I used to have to do the halftime show. Working on a holiday and basically coming on for about 4 minutes and 2.5 hours just to update scores.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we've all worked our fair share of holidays back in the day, no doubt about it. A lot of texts already coming in, ready for the football weekend. Philly Kevin, let's go. Wild card weekend, hot take, Eagles are beating the Bucks. Cowboys are losing. We'll see, Philly Kevin. Cougar Hunter is ready to go. TGIF, Godzilla checking in. We're the best in the business. Thank you. We appreciate that, Godzilla.
Cougar Hunter, rub some dirt on it, Craig.
Yeah, well, I am. Listen, I played hurt. I could have mailed it in all week, but I didn't. I did. We're here, and I was glad I was able to do that. Green Falcon says I sound better. I don't agree. I sound very raspy when I hear my voice, but that's okay. More well wishes coming on, so thank you for that.
Buffalo, maybe one of the few, but I believe the Chiefs versus Pittsburgh will be an upset game. Certainly, stranger things have happened. I outdone ourselves here. The NFL wild card weekend gambling trends. And I can tell you that there are more nuggets here for every single game. And I want you all to listen to every single one of them. It's one thing about picking teams to win. These are really, really interesting bits of information that you all are going to need.
There will be a test, actually, on Tuesday when we return.
This is worse than the LSATs or the MCATs. I'm telling you, But it will. I promise you, you will appreciate it. It will come in handy. Believe me.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is breaking news or not, but obviously yesterday we did the Viagra story and Josh Allen and whatnot, and we begged a doctor to call in on the show. Chad the Bucks fan says, hey, Craig, my buddy, he's a doctor. Tyler is his name. He said that Viagra would work for playing in the cold. And Tyler was the one that was yelling your name repeatedly in the Harry Carey voice at the Mighty Muscles game last summer. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yep.
So, yeah, he says it would work.
Well,
on the extremities.
Ninkovich came on today with Barton Hahn, and he was like, you know, he made a couple of innuendos and stuff and kind of still made fun of Bart. But, look, I know NFL players have done it. It's not – and it's not like you – people think you have to take, like – they're taking, like, three pills. No, it could be a quarter of one, you know, just to see. I mean, look, these guys shoot themselves up with all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
That's legal. Adderall and whatnot. Tetanus shots. What do you call it? Boost. What do you call it? The shots. You've had one in your
the cortisone shots.
Cortisone shot. Idiot. Can't think
yeah.
Cortisone shots. Adderall and lots of other goodies.
Yeah.
You know, over the years. So, you know, I don't think it's a big deal if you take a little Viagra for some of the players if it hurts, because that's what it was made for in Bridgestone, as we said yesterday. It was about blood circulation.
Blood flow, baby. Pittsburgh John says, tell Philly Kevin to shut the hell up. The Eagles haven't beaten a playoff team all season.
Yeah.
Vasectomy happy hour. Hope you feel better, Craig.
We'll get to all
that. Before we get too late, it is 7 minutes past the hour.
How about yesterday? Flawless.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. No doubt about it. The streak continues at 7 minutes past the hour. It's time for our first SportsCenter rundown of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Chris.
The All-Pro team was announced today. Aaron Rodgers beat out Tom Brady for the quarterback position. Tristan Wirfs, the only member of the Buccaneers to make the team. And five unanimous selections. Jonathan Taylor, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, T.J. Watt, and Aaron Donald. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips told reporters he is against CFP playoff expansion prior to the TV contract expiring in 2025 or 2026, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And Miles Sanders tells reporters he's going to play Sunday against the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, I think 90% of this playoff expansion stuff is about TV money. And there has to be some sort of an accord that they're going to – and the stupid Rose Bowl people – going to have to give it up. You know, that's a topic for another. We'll have plenty of time to debate that.
Sure.
How about Micah Parsons, though? Can you name, you guys, and if you see my tweet, then don't say it. So there have only been three other rookies to make the first team All-Pro since the merger. Can you name them? Only three other linebackers in NFL history since the merger have made first team all pro, not Pro Bowl, all pro.
Was Lawrence Taylor considered
yes.
a line?
Yes, okay. Lawrence Taylor was one. Yep.
Let's see here.
I saw the list, so you're on your own, Craig.
Oh, really? Well, yep. I just shot my best answer.
That's right. Well, I'll give you the other two. Patrick Willis and with the 49ers and Darius Leonard with the Colts.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, Darius Leonard did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Hmm. Pretty elite company.
Very good. Good. By the way, Chris, how are you? You were gone yesterday. People wanted to know if it was a legit meeting or if it was a meeting on the 18th hole. I didn't have an answer for that.
No, I didn't see you yet. Were you even in the building yesterday?
Nope, down in Naples.
That's what I thought.
Yep, down in Naples.
Headquarters. The headquarters for headquarters.
Yeah. Secret.
So.
All right.
So what happened? Well, good?
What's going on?
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Well,
boy, Pete, that was vague.
Yikes.
That was vague.
Hey, quick number for you, Craig. You'll love this.
All right.
Dan Campbell took the offensive play calling away from the now fired OC, Anthony Lynn. So Jared Goff in five games when Campbell was calling the plays, 11 touchdowns and two interceptions. In the other 10 games this year, eight touchdowns and six interceptions.
Yeah. I like Dan Campbell's play calling. He mixes up just enough trick plays in there more than most, but not to be enough to be ridiculous. And if he just learns when to kick field goals instead of going for fourth down, I think there's a couple more wins in the bag there.
No question. And maybe the trick play is because they were sort of out of it and they had nothing to lose. But not only did they were executed well, and most of them worked.
Yeah, they called it the right time.
Yeah.
And they did work. I like them. I'm actually, this is the first time in a long time I'm enthusiastic a little bit about next year already. I haven't had that feeling in a while.
Oh, I can
never
tell.
Was.
Yeah,
I can tell in your voice, Craig. You're more than a little enthusiastic. You're high on the Lions.
I'm bullish on the Lions.
Yeah.
And look, our division's a disaster. I mean, the Bears and the Vikings are starting over.
Well, and if Aaron leaves, you know,
yeah,
big if. We've decided, Chris and Craig, and I both decided. This is sort of a cop out, but I don't care.
You don't think Aaron Rodgers is leaving?
No, okay. We're in the 33.3% camp. 33.3% that he leaves, 33.3% that he stays. And Craig's more with this than I am, but I'll go with Craig. 33.3% that if they win it, he retires.
Yeah.
So we can't lose. I can't lose now. I can't.
If
I can't
you talk
lose.
About Pete Shepard hedging a bet, that's covering all sides.
This is the all time at the craps table. I can't lose.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I do.
So no matter what,
I'm right.
Opening of training camp next year, Pete Shepard was correct.
Yes,
I love it.
Pete, right again. Yep. Yeah, we'll be hearing that.
I didn't want to do the last third with the retirement because I think that's much more of a lot. But you know what? It evens out the other two. So it's hedging. You know, it's hedging properly at the crap table, which we all know if you know what you're doing, which I kind of don't. But I mean, I sort of do. But that is the best odds of any table game in Vegas. Table game is craps if you really know what you're doing. You can hedge your bets and come away. But so I'll do it here.
Okay. I think it's good. I think it's wise.
Yeah.
All right. So we got these games going on. Just a real quick note. I very disappointed in my Hoosiers last night. They were a better team than Iowa, but they had 23 turnovers. So yeah, they got what they deserved.
I had the over in that game, Wisconsin looked very good. Smith, the kid, is awesome. And when Providence beat him, he didn't play, but I don't care. It's still a tough place to win on the road. And it still helps them. But, yeah, I had the over last night, so I won 4-1 so far this week.
Good job. I saw one thing that really irritated me last night. So after watching all this basketball, I stayed in for the late game and watched little UCLA at Pauley Pavilion, and I'm going, wait a minute. This looks like last year. There were zero fans in the stands.
Yeah.
And then I looked it up. So UCLA at Pauley Pavilion, no fans due to COVID fears until January 21. Southern Cal's doing it to like this weekend.
And Bill was doing the game, right? Was Bill Walton doing the game on TV?
I thought Bill.
I didn't watch it. I forgot.
Well, I did, but here's the thing that's stupid, Pete. 13 miles down the road, SoFi is putting 75,000 people in a building for football, and the Clippers and the Lakers at Staples, they're doing 15,000 people. So it makes zero sense to me, and this is what California does. You know, you got one building with one rule and another building with another rule, and it's absolutely asinine and stupid. I actually like what did you see what Bruce Pearl said, though, about this?
No, I didn't. He's always one for –
This is actually it sounds radical today, but I bet you within a year this is how everybody's thinking. He said, look, we need to just flat out drop all COVID protocols and treat it like the flu. If you got a kid that has symptoms that doesn't feel good, he doesn't play. Mm-hmm. If he feels fine and asymptomatic, he plays. Treat it like the flu. And I think a year from now, that will seem like a normal statement, but today it probably seems a little radical to some people.
Hopefully it's normal anyway, just for the other reasons. Hopefully it's just, you know, this kind of goes the way of the flu, hopefully.
Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, speaking of somebody that has it right now, yeah. I mean,
but you're absolutely sure you have it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's no, I know. But
not to beat a dead horse. My wife and one of my kids tested positive. Literally tested positive within minutes. I also started getting symptoms 4 days later. I took a test as soon as I had the first symptom, and it was negative because I took it a home test too early. And then, like, I'm 4 days behind my wife, right? And she's full blown, and I've got, like I said, seven symptoms. I don't have a proof of a positive test to hand you and say, look,
no,
I'm pregnant.
I'm just, yeah.
But I'm just. But I
now that would be breaking news.
You don't have the test that says you're pregnant, but you're showing.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
How's your appetite?
Fair. Fair. I mean, yeah. I'm all right. But yeah,
I have a little brandy happened. This weekend. Sweat it out.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. I mean, a small.
It's not a horrible idea.
No, it isn't. It's just like cough medicine. When I was younger, we get blackberry brandy. Same thing.
You know, I Craig, think during the Patriots Bills, I will do that.
There's been a lot of research to come out over the last few days about marijuana users and not catching COVID or catching COVID at a really a much smaller rate than the rest of the population. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should light up this weekend.
You just invited the text line. Here comes Cougar Hunter and company. Fact. They're going to be going, I haven't gotten COVID yet.
Go Facebook Live when you do it.
I won't go that far, but I may have a nip of brandy. That sounds good. All right. Enough of all this nonsense. Let's talk some football.
Let's get
ready for this weekend here.
Let's get into it. Still,
I see
weather is still a big talk in a lot of these places. Well, mostly in Cincinnati, Kansas City, and obviously Buffalo. Still, the weather up there is still going to be -8 degrees with the wind in Buffalo. Still, plenty of seats available. By the way,
that's brutal. Seats available. This is Buffalo. This is they live for this. What's going on?
But I said, even the game. The Frank Reich game when it came back against you. I mean, remember all these other. I don't remember Buffalo. When's the last time Buffalo played in a night playoff game? Have I forgotten? It wasn't last year.
Well, they played at Houston a few years ago.
Yeah, that was inside.
At Houston.
Yeah. So this is going to be one of the coldest games in NFL history. There's no question about it for the playoffs. For the playoffs, there's no doubt about it.
Last year they hosted the Colts, but that was a 4:30 or a 1 o'clock game. That was a daytime game. It had to have been a 1 o'clock game actually, because it was light out the whole time.
And I know everybody's been talking in that game about Josh Allen and Nicole, where he doesn't like it and he hasn't performed particularly well with 6 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and a 50% completion rating. On the other hand, I don't know what Mac Jones has ever played in weather like that either. He's a rookie, and I just think the whole key to that game is taking care of the football, center. Quarterback exchange, I don't care what formation they're in, is going to be absolutely off the chart for both sides. And the other thing, as I talked about yesterday with you, Craig, is that it's hard to catch the football in this weather. The receivers, I don't care if we're gloves or not, it is a pain in the behind. It's like catching a rock, worse than a rock, when it's 8 to 10 below at times. It is very, very difficult. So both quarterbacks, I mean, especially Josh with the bullets that he can throw. The receivers are going to have just as much responsibility tomorrow night as the quarterback and the center. I think the quarterbacks and the centers are 1-2. And then the receivers trying to catch the ball.
Yeah. And then the fun prop bet, I haven't been able to look it up yet. I don't know what the prop is for Josh Allen on runs. He's good at that. And I can see him busting off at least a couple of 15-yard runs.
Yep.
And if he can do that, maybe even 3 or 4 of them, I think that'd be very beneficial to Buffalo. And just pull it down and run, because he's great at it.
I think every one of these games is going to be fantastic. And I'm only back and forth on one of them as far as the line goes. And I still may change my mind before Pigskin picks, but there's only one
actually,
that bothers me.
I'm actually the least excited, and this could – come back and bite me. I'm the least excited about Philly Tampa. Now I kind of make up for it because I'm always interested in watching Tampa. But I'm
not because of the weather.
I don't want to say this is the easiest draw of the bunch, but I mean, there's no reason
easy.
Tampa should lose this game. But you never know.
Last year they played at Washington. Everybody thought that was going to be easy too, and Washington covered. I mean, I don't think any of these games, with the exception of maybe one, is going to be easy.
Well, which one?
Pittsburgh or Kansas City? I'm really going back and forth on it. I'm going through all the numbers, and a big part of me wants to take the points with the 12.5. But I'll go through all the numbers. On the other hand, and I'm not basing this on the 36-10 route a few weeks ago, because I don't think that game has anything to do with it. I'm trying to figure out what Pittsburgh has left in the tank, and Kansas City, I think, would really have to mess up special teams fumble, deflected interception, some sort of a freaky score that keeps Pittsburgh to backdoor cover in this one. But then, you know, if Kansas City won by 20, is anybody going to be surprised?
No, but my spidey senses tell me, man, just a flukish deal.
Can yeah, the I know.
Maybe just grind it and keep it close. They get Juju yep. Smith-Schuster yep. back.
All it takes is one little fluky play, or maybe Kansas City doesn't come out prepared. Say Pittsburgh wins the toss, and they go down for a touchdown. All of a sudden, on the spread, they're up 19.5 to nothing. That and Kansas City could score in bunches, but in the playoffs, you're already three touchdowns down. More than three touchdowns down if Pittsburgh scores first. And, man, you get that lump in your stomach if you have shekels on it going, oh, my God, what did I do?
By the way, your boy Seth Wickersham has a piece on Big Ben's, quote-unquote, complicated legacy in ESPN today.
I'm sure. I'm sure he does.
Enjoy that.
Oh, I got to read that.
Well, can I give you some of the top six nuggets? Right, these are just basically generic, sort of.
Sure.
All right. Starting with the underdogs right now, 8-6 outright in wild card week in the last 3 years. Okay, 9 of the 14 games under the total since division realignment in 2002. Unders are 46-31-1. That's 60% in wild card weekend since 2017. This is a biggie. Teams favored by at least 5 points in the wild card round against the spread. There have been 11 times that's happened. Take a guess at what the teams favored by at least five points in the wild card round are against the spread in 11 games. Take a guess.
I'm going to – in 11?
Yeah.
7-4.
I'm gonna invert that. Because I'm feeling like there's a surprise at the end of this. Well, I'm going to say 4-7.
Yeah, I think the dogs have won more than the favorites.
Are we saying the same thing?
I think we're saying the same thing, Craig.
I'm talking about
against the spread, and then I have an outright number two as well.
All right,
yeah, I'm saying against the spread.
Okay, wild card weekend. Since 2017, teams favored by at least 5 points in the wild card round are 1-10 against the spread, 5-6 outright.
Wow. So that would apply. 5-6 outright?
Outright.
That's Squeakers. The more amazing stat, even yep. though 10-1 is.
So that would apply that would apply to Las Vegas. It would apply to Philadelphia. Patriots were only 4.5, so it doesn't apply to them. And Pittsburgh.
And it tells me that at least one of those teams is actually going to pull off the upset and win, and the other ones are going to be field goal games, basically.
And you know, just to piggyback on that, I read it earlier this week. I think on Wednesday I gave everybody this stat. But the last 25 years, wild card weekend betting trends, teams that have a negative point differential of more than 2 points, 5-0 straight up, 5-0 against the spread. And we've got two teams this weekend
Crazy.
That fit that criteria, the Steelers and the yep. Raiders. That's the second stat that's gone in favor of the Raiders.
This is okay. Now here's that's an awesome number. Those are great numbers. Here's generic stats, right, sort of number two. And then I have a whole bunch of other ones that we'll definitely get into. Pittsburgh currently 12.5 point underdogs in Kansas City. It is the largest spread in wild card history. It is Pittsburgh's largest spread as an underdog since 1995. Ben Roethlisberger has been a double-digit underdog just twice, going 0-2 against the spread in those games. And the 95 game, Craig, remember, I think the underdog, I think they were 12.5 point dogs to Dallas in the Super Bowl. The Cowboys won by 10. That was where your buddy James Washington had a great game, didn't he?
No, he didn't do a Steelers Super Bowl. He beat the Bills.
Oh, the
twice.
Bills. That's right. The Bills.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But still, that's the game. It was the Super Bowl where Dallas was. That was the Larry Allen game, right?
I think so.
Number three, Arizona, 4 point underdog in Los Angeles. Arizona 6-0 against the spread and outright as an underdog this year. That's the most outright wins as an underdog in a single season without a loss in the Super Bowl era. Think about that since 1967.
That's the game I got circled for. Like, I think all the storylines boil down to that game. You know, but with Arizona limped into the playoffs, though, man. Well, they lost 4 of the last 5 and got in.
That's, yeah, but they're better. They're way better on the road. Yes. Dallas, a 3-point favorite at home against San Fran. Dallas was a league best, 13-4 against the spread during the regular season. On the other side, San Fran, very good also, 12-5 against the spread, 10-7 outright as an underdog over the past 3 years. Hmm. Tampa Bay, this is number 5, 9-point favorite as they take on Philly. Tom Brady, 0-5 against the spread, 2-3 outright against NFC East opponents in the playoffs. On the other side, including Washington covering last year. I mean, again, it's not losses. This is this. But 2-3 outright. That's an 0-5 against spread. On the other side, Philadelphia 5-1 against the spread across its last 6 playoff games. Despite not having beaten anybody, they are still 5-1 against the spread in the last 6 playoff games. And since 2014, underdogs are 7-0 against the spread in divisional rematches in the postseason. 5-2 outright. That applies to the Patriots and Arizona.
Arizona.
That stat right there.
Wow.
So that's chew on those, and I got a whole bunch more afterwards. But yeah, that's but those are 6 points to ponder right there.
You got me rethinking everything now.
I know.
We always kind of follow these things, and Gabe talks about them a lot, and people say, well, you know what. What is these trends? Okay, what if something happened 5 years ago, what does it have to do with today? But, I mean, the exclamation point on all that was the Colts laying the egg in Jacksonville this weekend where they never win and they always lose by 13 points or whatever it is.
14.8 and they lost by 15. What you can't factor into all of this, obviously, is injuries. I mean, a quarterback goes down in any of these games for any of these teams changes the whole – obviously, all bets are off, even though they're not.
Yeah.
Well, and Craig, on rethinking your games, I would rethink everything when it comes to pigskin picks. 65-85-2 on the season and coming off of a 1-6 week.
Yeah.
We got a rebound. I mean, think about it. If you faded yourself all season, you're a millionaire. You have your boat.
Philly Kevin, Pete, the Eagles have not lost.
You're so right.
Philly Kevin, you're right. I misspoke. The Eagles have not lost 6 consecutive playoff games. They've lost to all 6 playoff teams they played this year. I didn't mean to trample on your Eagles. We'll get to them and all the numbers and you can because a lot of these games have pluses for one team and not so many for the other. But some are pretty. Some even out. It's going to make you think. But I mean, weather's a factor. You know, heart, soul, all that stuff, health, you know, who gets hurt, who doesn't get hurt.
It's a public service provided by us.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do it.
All right. Keep it coming. We'll take your thoughts, too, at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. And by the way, what match excites you the most this weekend out of the Wild Card Weekend? Speaking of Wild Card Weekend, it all starts Saturday, doubleheader on ESPN Southwest Florida. Coverage starts at 4. We got Bengals-Raiders. And it's followed by the Patriots at the Bills. Listen to every snap of the playoffs on ESPN Southwest Florida, thanks to our NFL playoff sponsor, Twin Peaks. Scheman and Shepard warming up on a Friday on ESPN Southwest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Good Friday afternoon. I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass is Scheman and Shepard show. Thrilled you could be with us here on ESPN Southwest Florida. Big Friday, getting ready for the Wild Card Weekend. And I love it. I mean, Pittsburgh John and Philly Kevin are going at it on the text line. Pittsburgh John saying Philly Kevin has to take a photo wearing a Steelers jersey and make it his Facebook photo for a week as a result of losing our annual bet on whose team will finish with a better record. Once this photo happens, I would love you guys to tweet it out also at ESPN.
Oh, we definitely will. Philly Kevin, it was...
That's rough. There should be an addendum to that ongoing bet that if both teams make the postseason, then there's no loser.
Yeah, we can't have that. That's a tie.
No, it's not a tie. It's like, hey, we both had good seasons. We both, we're still, our ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl is still alive, still on the table.
Would this have applied if the Raiders took a knee and Pittsburgh didn't make the playoffs? Would Philly Kevin already won the bet?
See, that's my point here. It's like, well, no, because at that point, the records would be the same. So the team that didn't make the playoffs
would lose the bet, right?
No, because the Steelers had more wins than the Eagles.
Yeah, but they're in different conferences, so different records get you in the playoffs sometimes this year.
I don't like it.
Like 1 year, 10 wins in the AFC might not even get you in the playoffs, but it might the NFC and vice versa. I think it's just total record there.
Jonathan says, what was the stat related to the total? Here it is again. Underdogs 8-6 outright in wild card weekend in the last 3 years. Now, 9 of the 14 games went under the total. So since division realignment in 2002, that's 20 years ago, unders are 46-31-1. That's 60% in wild card weekend. And since 2017, teams favored by at least 5 points in the wild card round are 1-10 against the spread 5-6 outright.
I love the fact that if you look at the evolution of this show over the last 4.5 years, how much we've become a gambling show. It's fantastic.
Well, it applies to a lot of the stuff that we talk about anyway.
I
think it's
It's for all those people texting in all week long about how the Chiefs are going to blow out the Steelers the Raiders don't have a shot going up against the Bengals. Like, these are stats that say no. This round in particular, games are a lot closer than what the public thinks, than what the perception of the public is. I think even if you're not a gambler, you hear that stat and you go, hold on. Maybe this Eagles-Bucks game, you know, whatever the weather is, maybe we should expect a closer game than what, you know, Joe Schmo is expecting.
Speaking of gambling, so I saw Dave Portnoy from Barstool.
Yes.
He moved down here. He's on the east coast of Florida now.
Yeah.
He sent out a thing where he's trying to get 1 million signatures to get gambling in Florida on the ballot. Right now it's only... Well, it's on and off, but it's through the tribe, right?
Yes.
And this would put it on the ballot to be everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's pushing hard for that.
Yeah, Big Cat is the one that's doing it, really. But obviously, Prez is Dave's the president, but Big Cat is one that did. I already had the ballot at my house 1.5 months ago. I already filled it out. Obviously, I retweeted the story and filled it out again on my phone.
They've got
I think to the average person it's confusing. They're like, well, wait a minute. We just got sports betting here in Florida. Well, these are two different things. This is like just to have it everywhere versus, just through the tribes.
Yeah.
And I even had to wrap my head around that for a minute.
It's wild with the targeted ads and stuff on YouTube and, pre-roll on video players and stuff. I have been targeted because the group that doesn't want that to happen, I'm assuming that's the tribe. Because they want to keep a lot of the revenue tied to it. They're targeting me and saying, hey, don't let these out-of-state companies come in and take all this money out of our state. Let's keep the sports gambling within the state. And I don't care how it happens. I just want it to happen.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. All right. So let's see here. Other news, San Francisco, it looks like Trent Williams, they're going to have him back with his bad elbow going against the Cowboys for the 49ers. What else was there? J.J. Watt did practice today. Mixed reports there, whether he was limited and whether unsure he's going to be able to go. He's going to go.
He's going to go, but not sure how, say on average, say 60 snaps on defense. They're saying maybe a little more than half. Who knows? Who knows? I expect more than that. But
so do you bring him in pass rushing situations, or is he better as a run stopper?
No, I guess maybe it depends on the flow of the game.
Yeah, I guess.
I'd go pass rush, but
I'm sure they want him in there for three. I'm sure they want him in there all three downs, but I don't know if he'll be able to do it. But we'll see.
You're probably right, though. I mean, if Arizona jumps out to an early lead, I'm sure they'll use him in passing situations against the Rams. Yep. And if they're down early, then you put him out there on the field and you don't, or at least you try to limit how much clock that the Rams can use. And being 1 day later, it might help.
Any of you know who Thomas Brown is?
It's a pretty generic name there. I'm going to say no.
Old TB?
Former Georgia and NFL running back.
Oh.
Supposed to be compared to a younger Mike Tomlin on the rise at age 35. The Dolphins have put a request to interview him. He is the Rams running back coach and assistant head coach. That's the latest.
Got to go to that Sean McVay coaching tree. Gotta love it.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought the shine had fallen off of that a little bit.
Yeah, but I think when Zach Taylor does what he did in Cincinnati, the shine is reestablished.
Okay. All right. By the way, speaking of the Rams, Matthew Stafford said his toe got stepped on last week. He'll be okay. He's kind of making fun of Aaron Rodgers. He was asked about the pressure of being 0-3. He says there is no pressure. I try to do my best every game.
He's wrong.
No, there's a ton.
He's dead wrong. This is the biggest game times 10.
Game of his life. Game of his life.
Yeah.
Crazy. In fact, go ahead. Why do some? Let's do some nuggets for that game. As long as why not? Right? Yeah. As long as we're talking.
I was just
about
wondering
it
out loud. I mean, he didn't have very many big games in Detroit. I'm wondering what his biggest game at Georgia was. I know he lost because they never won anything when he was there.
Yeah. They wore the black uniforms against Alabama one night. I remember that game.
Yeah.
It was like an early season top 10 matchup before Saban was there, obviously, but still Alabama.
Interesting numbers. Arizona, 10-7 against the spread this year. Unders were 9-8. The Rams were 8-9 against the spread. Overs were 9-7-1.
That's crazy that the Cardinals have played more games to the under than the over. You think an offense like that they would have more over games.
Arizona 6-0 against the spread and outright as an underdog this year. That is the most outright wins as an underdog in a single season without a loss in the Super Bowl era. Talking since 1967. Teams to go 2-0 against the spread or better as underdogs during the regular season are 15-25-1 as underdogs in the postseason. This applies Arizona 6-0 against the spread as an underdog. Arizona was 8-1 outright and against the spread on the road this season. Now, here's another big number, though. This is how Sean McVay, 9-1 against the spread against Arizona and 5-1 against the spread against Cliff Kingsbury. Rams favorite in all but one of those games. They were underdogs in their last meeting in week 4. McVay 17-8-1 against the spread with at least 7 days between games. Cliff Kingsbury is 8-5 against the spread with at least 7 days in between games. 7-2 against the spread as an underdog. Four of the past 5 meetings between these two teams have gone over the total. And since 2014, underdogs are 7-0 against the spread in divisional rematches in the postseason, 5-2 outright.
Ooh.
They're over. I got them at 49.5 on this. Is that still current, I guess, for the over-under in that game? Sounds about right.
Yeah. So we're going to hear that stat again, right, Pete?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That'll be a New England-Buffalo stat, I'm sure.
Yeah, Arizona and New England, that applies to those two teams. They're the only two that fit that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
But
get your card ready. Oof. All right. Don't forget, we'll have our pigskin picks at 4 o'clock. Gabe Morenci, I'm sure he'll drop some more of this knowledge on you at 4:30. Looking forward to all that. And next hour is your chance at winning $75 to the Boathouse on Naples Bay with Craig's Friday Sports Desk. All that more coming up. Sound Street next. Scheman and Shepherd on a Friday on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Scheman and Shepherd.
All right, here we go. First, a really quick text from Not a Day Goes By. Hey, guys, love the show and fins up. Can you all please tell my coworker Joe that the Packers are going to choke in the first round since he won't stop talking smack about a team who should have been in the playoffs? I presume that's the Dolphins. Here's a little fun fact, though, Not a Day Goes By. Packers have a bye in the first round, so they're good.
They'll play in the first round.
They won't win this weekend.
Yeah. Won't win, won't lose. Talk to you again next week.
Yeah, and they're hoping Philadelphia beats Tampa Bay because that's who they play.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, maybe they want Tampa Bay. Maybe they want the rematch there at
Atlanta. That wouldn't come for them until the NFC Championship.
That's true. That's true. All right. Here's Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills. Both them and the Patriots have shown some resiliency this year.
I think you could say the same for our entire team. They're a very resilient group. You know, just the ebbs and flows of any season, as I mentioned before, of this season in particular, where, hey, man, this is type of year that could have gone in a different direction. But the resiliency of our group as a whole has gotten it to where we're in the playoffs, we win the division again. And I think there's a lot of traits from that part of our season alone that you can use going forward.
Mm-hmm. All right. And for New England, J.C. Jackson, who Pete Shepard told you earlier this week
from
Wikipedia, is the leading interception guy for the defense. Josh Allen, always a threat to make a throw.
You just can't fall asleep, man. You can't blink your eye. Like, you got to always – I mean, this guy, like I said, he got a very strong arm. I mean, he can scramble outside the pocket, throw the ball on the other side of the field. He could do it all, really. You know what I'm saying? It's like playing football in the backyard.
I can handle the good throws down the field occasionally. I can handle that. What I couldn't handle last game is great plays. They're frustrating to watch from the other side to have Isaiah McKenzie, who nobody knew who the hell he was, and those shovel passes, you know, when it looked like it was going to get sacked. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that really kill the Patriots in that game, those couple of plays there. But anyway.
All right, let's talk Buccaneers and Eagles and Tom Terrific. Tom Brady not sleeping on this Philadelphia Eagle defense.
Well, they have a lot of good players. They obviously got a very good front. They're really settled in at linebacker. They're playing really well at linebacker. And, you know, they got a very veteran secondary who's playing very well together. Talented players at all the positions. They're, you know, a very good defense. They make you earn everything. You know, you make a mistake, you get a penalty, you're going to punt. You know, the ball gets batted up in the air, they're going to intercept it. You hold on the ball too long, they're going to strip sack it. So it's a team that just doesn't let you off the hook. And I think they do a good job of their coverages. They show enough disguise. You know, they're all covering for one another. There's really good communication. I can tell that. So really well-coached defense with, you know, a lot of good players. It makes it, you know, tough for the offense to score.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, this is the first playoff game that Tom Brady has had against the Eagles since he stiffed Nick Foles with the handshake back in the day. So the media was asking him about it. He says, I got no beef with Nick Foles, even though he's not even on the Eagles anymore. No. Here he is.
Tom, you just mentioned the Eagles are a team that don't let you off the hook. Their fans don't let you off the hook either. I know you talked about in the podcast the other night about they always remind you about that drop pass in the Super Bowl. I'm wondering, how aware are you? Those fans are obsessed with you not shaking Nick Foles' hand after that game. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I've
shaken Nick's hand plenty of times, though. So I have a lot of respect for Nick. And, you know, I try to be a good sport as best I can. I know it doesn't always look like that because sometimes I get a little pissed out there. But for the most part, I try to be a good sport.
Yeah, I never get caught up, but I don't care what game it is. That sort of nonsense. And again, sometimes players say they're going to coaches meet after the game or just do the handshake now because it gets too crazy. I don't know. I just don't get caught up in that minutia nonsense.
All right, let's move on to the Cowboys and 49ers. Here's Dak Prescott not paying any attention to the outside noise surrounding an upset.
I've said it time and time again. We don't care what people believe about us outside of these walls, whether they think it's good or not. We're excited for the matchup. Obviously, it's a playoff opponent. You've got to respect them and what they've done. Been a successful team the past few years. Understand they were just as hurt as we were last year. But coming in this game, as we expect, hard four quarters. And if it's going to be a dogfight, it's going to be a war. And we're exactly up for that.
And on the 49ers side, here's Nick Bosa, says this has been a special group and he does not want the season to end.
Definitely very excited for this one. There's definitely a different just energy and vibe once you get here and it's win or go home. And it was kind of that last week, but it's different now. And We just want to win and keep going because this group is really special, and we want to accomplish special things.
The words and the tone don't match. It sounds like he woke up from a nap. Is he really excited for this game?
Well,
did not sound like it.
No.
Well, I don't know when that press conference was. It was right after practice. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's not feeling well.
Yeah, maybe not. All right, I'll tell you what. We got some sound for Kansas City and Pittsburgh. We will get to that.
Real quick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out tomorrow night or Sunday night versus the Steelers because of a shoulder injury. But Tyreek Hill and running back Darrell Williams are expected to play barring any setbacks, according to Andy Reid via Adam Schefter.
Okay, we'll have all that. We'll have a giveaway for the food truck wars we've been doing. We've got Craig's Friday Sports Test. It's all coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. More hot nuggets for these wildcard weekend games. All that coming up. Scheman and Shepherd, 1 hour in the books on a Friday on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.